¡Órale!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin flying solo today. It's December 4th, Friday. Our part two of the week 13 previews, and we got a little extra coming your way. Starting off with, hey, you know what? It's playoff time. It's week 13. You win and you're in. You just gotta get there. Just gotta get there and then get to the playoffs. But then what happens? Well, you got to be looking at some schedules coming up. And I put together an article for our FamiliaFFB.com website. And I'm going to give a little bit of the highlights of the players to target to look in that playoff run. None other than Derrick Henry starting off. Because, I mean, ese es un hombre. He's a monstruo. And look at his schedule. Jacksonville, Detroit, and Green Bay. All defenses you can run on. So he's a guy to target. Another one, the stack of Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. Look at this playoff slate. Detroit, Carolina, Tennessee. I mean, just all of those teams. Detroit and Tennessee definitely are teams you could throw in. Carolina, who's gonna guard Devontae Adams? They're just not. Another one, Tom Brady and his wide receiver crew. Look at this slate. Minnesota, Atlanta, Detroit. The latter two games are in domes. And we know how Tommy B likes to perform in domes from all those Super Bowls, but he's going to be throwing it up. Another one with a great lineup is Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen. I mean, it's just, you know, Atlanta, Vegas, Denver, all of those are teams that you could throw on. So definitely, and then we're going into more analysis in the article, and to show you that we're going through analysis to go through Mitchell Trubisky and Allen Robinson is a stack to look at. I know. Don't stop listening. Don't turn off but listen. Look at this lineup here: Houston, Minnesota, Jacksonville. All of them are defenses that you could throw on, especially Houston just lost their top cornerback to a PED suspension. So they're just going to be they're going to be throwing it up all over the place. And Mitchell Trubisky is going to be playing for his NFL future. So vamos a ver. And looking over at the players to kind of keep an eye on and maybe fade a little bit or just kind of worry about. There are three players, and you're gonna be a little shocked at this one. Josh Allen being one of them, but look at this lineup: Pittsburgh, Denver, New England. Pittsburgh and New England are definitely tough tough defenses against the pass. New England just got Stephon Gilmore, and he's been better. Denver, they've been getting better with the pass rush, but I mean a little more successful in the pass. But yeah, Pittsburgh and New England are tough ones. Another one, and you're gonna be shocked at this one because he's been such a stud all season. Dalvin Cook, look at these defenses: Tampa Bay, Chicago, New Orleans. I mean, all of them are just, you know, tough run defenses. The only good thing is none of these games are going to be outside. So, well, I mean, in bad weather, there's going to be a game at Tampa Bay, but, you know, that'll be nice weather for them. And then the New Orleans game is in the Superdome. So that might help. But, again, you know, Dalvin Cook has been a little bit dinged up. So I'm so it on that one. So that's a little worrisome. But, again, more detail coming in the article. Lastly, Deshaun Watson. He's at Chicago, at Indy. And he gets a reprieve week 16 against the Cincinnati Bengals. So Chicago and Indy are two of the toughest defenses against the pass. So both games are road games. So it's going to be you know, it's some difficult sledding for him. So you know, if you've got another option at quarterback for weeks 14 and 15, you might want to think about that, especially since Watson just lost Will Fuller. So, again, more detail to follow. Let's get into some chisme. Josh Jacobs, he's been sidelined at the first two practices of week, Wednesday and Thursday. So ankle injury is definitely rearing its ugly head. Keep an eye on the practice report for Friday to see if there's a chance that he's going to play. If not, you know, we already talked about Devontae Booker in our waiver wire column. So, you know, This one, I've got Josh Jacobs in a league. I'm making contingency plans just in case. Another one that could be contingency plans, kind of based on the practice report, DeAndre Swift. I mean, he left he got taken off the concussion protocol, but you know, he missed Thursday's practice with an illness. And Adrian Peterson mentioned that he looked at Swift, and who hasn't just really looked like himself since the concussion in Week 10. So let's hope good things for DeAndre Swift, because he was really just starting to find himself. But keep an eye on him, because you might not, those of you who were counting on him to play this week, you might have to sit him down and get a contingency plan. Josh Gordon reinstated by the NFL, and he was signed to a contract by the Seattle Seahawks early in the year. Can you guys believe that he's only 29 years old right now? Again, it just seems like forever when the 2013 season, when he went over 1,600 yards, where he was just a beast. He was doing things that like DK Metcalf is doing right now. But does he get to suit up alongside DK Metcalf? Does he make an impact? We're going to see. Vamos a ver. No, we don't know yet. I still think that the primary targets are going to be Metcalf and Lockett, so he's going to be at best number three. But and I think with his entrance into the lineup, I think that's going to take away all relevance of any tight ends for that team. So. And then let's light a veladora that Pete Carroll lets Russ cook. Over in Baltimore, Coach John Harbaugh said that he still wasn't sure that Lamar Jackson is going to play against Dallas on Tuesday. So, you know, they haven't taken him off the COVID-19 IR. Remember, he tested positive. It was not so he actually got the virus. So I think it's all depending on how he recovers. So hopefully wishing good things for Lamar, because, gosh, again, as I love to say so much, the league is better with him in it. Good news for the Bengals. Joe Burrow underwent successful surgery on his for his torn ACL and MCL. So it's going to be a bit of quite a bit of a rehab for him. He got injured about the same point that Carson Wentz did in 2017, and Wentz missed the first couple weeks of the 2018 season. So it could be the same timeline for Joe Burrow, but we'll definitely be keeping an eye on it over the offseason. Last bit of cheese, man. Todd Gurley also missed practice on Thursday, so he's battling that knee. It's kind of maintenance on his knee. You know, as a Ram fan, I've been worried about his knee for, you know, pretty much about 2 years now, and I just don't know. I mean, it's too bad. He's 26 years old. Have we seen the best of Todd Gurley? I still have my Gurley Man t-shirt, but I don't know if we're going to be able to count on him this weekend. So let's go back to our Sunday previews. We're doing the next six games. We're not going to preview the Monday and Tuesday games. There's three games on the slate for those days, total on the slate. But right now we're going to start off Indianapolis 7-4 at Houston 4-7. So Philip Rivers, he's just been balling out. He's got a bit of a foot issue that we got to keep an eye on, but he's such an iron man. He's going to play. I mean, and he's been playing pretty well of late. And he's thrown two or three touchdowns in four of the last six games. So, and Houston's defense, number 22 against quarterbacks, number 23 against wide receivers, you can throw on them. And as we mentioned earlier, they've lost quite a few of their defensive backs. So Philip Rivers could be a cheap play in DFS or maybe a streamer. Thinking good thoughts for Jonathan Taylor, that he is off the COVID list. Let's think back to week 11. When against Green Bay, he went on for 90 yards on 22 carries. So, you know, and Houston is number 31 against the running back. So, you know, there's going to be some play for him. And let's not discount Naheem Hines coming off of 95 yards to last week, 95 total yards. So he could kind of sub in, but for me, the play would be Taylor, because I think they're going to try and establish the run and get him involved. Another guy to keep a mind, an eye on, Michael Pittman. He got 9 targets, only 2 catches last week, but he's getting targeted. So you want to look at him as a potential cheap DFS play. I believe he's under $5,000 on DraftKings. So over on the Houston side, they got the big loss with Will Fuller being suspended for the remainder of the season. Who's going to get the targets that he left behind? It was almost about 7 a game. Brandon Cooks, to me, is the natural player coming on. First off, he's been playing really well. He had 85 yards on 5 receptions last time. There's been some talk about Kiki QT and Jordan Akins getting, Akins especially, getting some work in the slot. I don't think this is the week that either one comes up. I mean, maybe later on in the playoffs where, you know, they could be flex options or maybe in DFS, but I just don't think that's the case here. Let's go over to Arizona, where the Cardinals at 6-5 are hosting the Rams 7-4, starting off the 1 p.m. slate. The Rams are 3-point favorites, and it's a 48.5 over under. What Jared Goff are we going to see? Are we going to see the one who just lit up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or the one who, you know, just just really underperformed dramatically against the 49ers, throwing for only 198 yards, 0 TDs, and 2 interceptions? So honestly, I think this is going to come down to how do they establish the running game. And, you know, the Rams don't show their cards very well. They've been playing the hot hand. They split up 22 carries between 3 running backs, mostly between Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson. So in the last week, to me, the one thing watching that game pretty closely, Cam Akers looked like the best running back. I don't think Henderson is 100% healthy coming off of his injury. So I'm looking at Cam Akers and thinking he's going to gradually get more of the carries, with Malcolm Brown still vulturing some goal line work and a little bit of work in the passing game. But, you know, looking over at the passing game, if Jared Goff can get get going in the passing game, it's going to be going to Robert Woods. Woods had 12 targets last week, got 7 catches for 80 yards, and he's just been, you know, kind of, you know, inching his way up. I've got him in my rankings higher than Cooper Kupp, who has been battling some injuries. Only 5 targets last week. The Cardinals, this is going to be a fast-paced game with both teams, you know, really liking to push the ball and push the pace. So I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities in this game for both sides. Kyler Murray, he just hasn't looked like himself the last couple weeks with his injury. He's only run 10 times for 46 yards in the last 2 games. So is he trying to not put himself in harm's way with that shoulder injury that's been a problem the last couple games? I think that could be the case. I'm tempering my enthusiasm for Mr. Murray, much as I love him as a ball player. But I think this is going to be a tough game because the Rams are, you know, one of the top defense against the passing game, according to against wide receivers, according to Pro Football Reference, and number 2 against quarterbacks. So, you know, the Arizona Cardinals, their offensive line is okay. You need better than okay against Aaron Donald and his crew. So I could see Donald, you know, giving some problems to Kyler Murray. And if Murray's at all compromised with his shoulder, I still expect some points being scored, but I think the Rams are going to come out ahead. I do think Kenyon Drake will have, if anybody has a game, it's going to be him. He's coming off of 78 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. He could be he could get the running workload. He's been, you know, since he's come back, he's really taken over the load from Chase Edmonds. DeAndre Hopkins, does he get the Jalen Ramsey shadow? That treatment was working fantastically when Ramsey went head up against DK Metcalf. Do we get that again with Hopkins? I know Ramsey's been a little bit banged up the last couple weeks. So if he's not up to it, you know, keep an eye on the practice report. If he is at all showing compromised, or that could mean an opening for DeAndre Hopkins. Christian Kirk, you know, he's coming off of 6 targets last week. I just don't know what he's going to do this week. So I would be fading him, especially with the playoffs on the line. Let's go up north to Seattle. The 8-3 Seahawks host the 4-7 New York Giants. The Seahawks are 10-point favorites and 48.5 point over under. The Giants, I don't know who you play. It's really looking like Colt McCoy is going to be playing for Daniel Jones, who has a hamstring injury. That really limits Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton's effectiveness. I would not play them. I would play Evan Ingram just because of the fact that Ingram has been playing much better of late. He's a tight end. He's just not much of a chance option at that position. I've got him definitely in my top 5 of tight ends. I'm looking at him as my tight end 5 actually for looking at this week, and you know, he could fall into the end zone because Seattle's going to have to throw the ball. This week, I think Russell Wilson, he's had a few weeks in a row since week 9 when he threw for 398 yards. His highest passing yardage is 248 yards, so he's really taken the pedal off the metal. I think it's to try and get the running game more established. Chris Carson came back last week. Carlos Hyde came back the week before. Last week, the two of them combined for 23 carries, so looking again at more of a balanced run pass ratio. The Rams passed 31 times. So the question is Russ going to throw enough to get both DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett involved? Metcalf just was fantastic last week against Darius Slay. He got 177 yards on 10 receptions. He's got 1,039 receiving yards, league leading, 9 touchdowns, just having a fantastic season. He's the wide receiver 3 right now. Does he get James Bradbury? And here's the thing, is he gonna be able to do to Bradbury what he did to Darius Slay last week, which it's very possible. I know DK Metcalf mostly got locked up by Jalen Ramsey earlier, but Bradbury is one of the top ranked cornerbacks by Pro Football Focus, but I don't know who's going to stick to DK Metcalf. The one guy that I think is going to come off is Tyler Lockett, and he's the wide receiver 7, but it's really come off of a couple of blow-up games. In the last 5 games, he's got 67 yards or less with only 1 TD. He's got 8 TDs on the season. But this could be a game if DK Metcalf gets the top DB in Bradbury, maybe Lockett opens up a little bit. And let's see if Josh Gordon is actually active and ready to play. So good luck to him. Good luck to him. You want to hear good things about to happen for him, you know, to conquer those demons. Over in Green Bay, the 8-3 Packers are facing the 3-7-1 Eagles. Two teams going in just completely different directions. The Packers are 8.5 point favorites, 47.5 point over under. So there's going to be some points scored in this game. I think it's going to be mostly by the Packers. The Aaron Rodgers to Davante Adams, to me, it's a little bit more of a pricey stack in DFS, but it's going to pay off. I mean, these guys have just been locked in. Davante Adams has 9 touchdowns in the last 6 games. Aaron Rodgers is coming off of 4 last week against a very good Bears defense. Now they're home. They got the Eagles, who are, you know, just kind of middle of the road. And obviously we saw the blueprint for what to do to Darius Slay, who's more than likely going to take Davante Adams. And, you know, DK Metcalf is great. Davante Adams is the best receiver in the NFL right now, and he's just hot as anything. So I think that that one's going to pay off. The one that I think is going to be a little bit interesting, who's cheap in DFS, is Robert Tonyan. He's coming off of back-to-back games with touchdowns. He had 5 targets for 67 yards last week. You know, it really looks like he's found his niche playing alongside Davante Adams now. So I wouldn't mind maybe doing even a triple stack between Adams, Rodgers, Adams, and Tonyan. So vamos a ver. Aaron Jones went off for 90 yards, and then last week, and Jamal Williams went for 73. So are we going to get more of the same there? That split. The Eagles are a little bit tougher on against the pass than the run. So they're a little bit tougher on the run than the pass. So vamos a ver. Over on the Eagles side, you know, Carson Wentz, such a wonderful player. I think he's trying to do too much. I've said it before on this podcast. He's just trying to do too much. He got a late save with the Hail Mary touchdown as time ran out when Richard Rodgers caught the ball in the end zone. So. Carson Wentz maybe I don't play him because the Packers are better against the pass than the run. They're not very good against the run, which to me, that means Miles Sanders, you fire him up this week. He only had 15 yards rushing last week, but again, you plan for the week ahead. And we just had David Montgomery go for 143 total yards against the Packers. Sanders is better, so I'm not going to say he's going to get more than 143 yards, but I would say that Sanders is going to be a very good option for playing this week. So let's go over to SoFi Stadium, where the Chargers at 3-8 are hosting the 5-6 New England Patriots. The Patriots are 1-point favorites and a 46.5-point over under. And I think this is just coming down to the record of Bill Belichick. Apparently he's 19-5 against rookie quarterbacks. And what do the Chargers have? Rookie Justin Herbert. He's got 6 300 yard games. He had 316 last time. He had 7 of his 10 games with at least 2 touchdowns. The Patriots do have Stephon Gilmore back. I don't know if that's going to be enough. I think what's going to happen in this game is Austin Eckler is going to get, who had 16 targets last week. I think he's going to get targeted out of the backfield. Hunter Henry's going to have himself a little bit of a game, and the Patriots. If Gilmore is sticking Mike Williams, does that free up that I think is going to free up Keenan Allen a little bit more underneath that coming out of the slot. So I do think the Chargers are going to win this game. I think I don't know if I would bet the under on Justin Herbert getting 300 yards, because I think it's just a very real thing that Bill Belichick just attacks the rookie quarterbacks. On the New England side, hard to know. Cam Newton, coming off a game where he had 84 yards passing and 46 rushing. I don't know how much time he's going to have. Their offensive line has been a little bit dinged up. They had some losses before the season to the players opting out. So and right now Joey Bosa is as hot as any defensive pass rusher. He's just been an absolute beast. And last week, I mean, he almost won the game. If they would have won the game against the Buffalo Bills, he would have been the absolute MVP of that game. Does Damian Harris or James White, does either one get play in this game? I think it's going to be split down the middle. I don't know. I think Harris is more of a play in deeper formats. To me, the interesting part is that James White only got one reception last week. You'd think that he'd be getting a lot of work underneath for that team, but the Chargers are number 20 against running backs, so in fantasy points per game allowed. So we're gonna see. Let's go to Sunday Night Football, where Denver 4-7 is at Kansas City, the red hot Kansas City Chiefs 10-1. The Sunday Night Football 5:20 game. The Chiefs are 13.5-point favorites with a 50.5 over under. What more can be said about what, you know, Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill? The interesting thing with Tyreek Hill was just a lot of short dump offs and just letting him run. And I mean, 15 targets last week, and just a combination of deep throws, the short stuff where he could do his thing yards after the catch. This is going to be a lot more of this. Denver does not have an answer for Tyreek Hill. And it really looks like the way they're using him is kind of like almost like as part of a running game. So and again, can't tip the helmet anymore to Tyreek Hill for being the only other receiver other than the GOAT Jerry Rice to cap 13 or more receiving yards. I mean 13 or more receptions, 200 or more yards, and 3 touchdowns in a game. I mean, that's in the all of NFL history. Tyreek Hill and Jerry Rice are the only two guys to do this. So just utterly fantastic. Mahomes, fire him up. You're not even thinking about it. Travis Kelce, you're not even thinking about it. He's the best, absolute the best. I mean, it's funny. People were actually disappointed when he only got 82 yards last week on 8 receptions. He's only about, 24 yards away from becoming the first tight end to have 1,000 yards in 5 seasons, and he's doing it in 5 consecutive seasons. So we may be talking about Kelce as the GOAT himself at that position. Over in Denver, I can't recommend Drew Lock on this one. You know, he's tested negative for the and he's taken off the COVID protocol. The Chiefs are number 5 against wide receivers. They're number 17 against tight ends. So Noah Fant could sneak in, maybe get some play, but I can't recommend Jerry Jeudy, especially with the playoffs on the line. Melvin Gordon could have the backfield to himself because Philip Lindsay has been DNP at practice. But Gordon only had 31 yards last week. I mean, you just throw that game out. Look at this game. The Kansas City Chiefs are susceptible to the run. So this week I'm looking at Melvin Gordon as potentially a player who could go, you know, approach or surpass 100 yards this week. Because I think what the Denver game plan will be is to try and keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. And with Gordon being the most healthy back, it's going to be him. Bueno, everybody, eso es todo for our show. Sorry, no arguing with the primos. We should have that back on Sunday night after the Sunday slate of games. So thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out into the familia community. Please subscribe, leave us a review at Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB. You can find me at JorgeMartin17. You get Hector at What the Heck with 2 T's, as well as our FamiliaFFB.com page, where again we're going to have Adentro y Afuera. We're going to have a breakdown of the schedules and just all the great content coming in there. And don't forget our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. Gracias, everybody. And remember, todos somos familia.